So away Northwest London, Wednesday the 11th of March, Tess Bob Ador, or of Aaron Jacobson, topical theme.
Good morning, Freilich and Purim, of course there's halacha, if somebody, and as is unfortunately relevant in town, somebody is meant to be sitting Shiva, they're not sitting Shiva because today is still considered to be Purim. We don't actually celebrate with the mitzvah Hayyim, but it's still very much a day of a Purim, of Simcha. And therefore, perhaps, on the other hand, we are already within the 30 days of Pesach, Shnei Shemiyim Kedem Achag, and the Mishnah Berurah says at the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, that Maschilim Yom HaPurim Atzmai, so therefore let's try and do a bit of a blend of both. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Mikan, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah, Kof Aleihem Har Kegiges, he took the mountain and he put it over them, and he forced Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. Says the Gemara, Mikan Moidah Rabba Le'Raisa. That's a good excuse for Klal Yisrael to say we were forced into it, and therefore we don't have to keep the Torah. Says the Gemara, Afal Pikein Hodo Kiplu Abimeach Hashveirosh. Nevertheless, they reenacted it, they reaccepted it, and they accepted it in the days of Achashverosh. And Rashi says, because of the Avas Hanes, it wasn't just in the days of Achashverosh, as a result, a direct result of the Purim story, Klal Yisrael reaccepted the Torah. So today we're standing here, Shushan Purim, in a day when Klal Yisrael have reaffirmed their connection. There's been a new Kabbalah Satera. And perhaps we should just take a moment to ponder that, to look at that. And I found an incredible Ramban, a Chidusha Ramban on Shas. You know, learning Ramban is a hard thing. And the Ramban is the Tchilas, the beginning of the early Rishonim, part of our Shalsheles HaKabbalah, of the chain of transmission of Torah to us. And the Ramban asks, and I bring the words of the Ramban, nothing could be better than just the actual words of the Ramban, you can't go wrong with that.
Yep.
So the Ramban says, Kashali, he says, I don't understand, he says, this is I don't understand. What are you telling me? So till Achashverosh time, they had an excuse. If that's the case, that from Matan Torah until Achashverosh time, they were off the hook. So he says, well, if you look right through, we have 24 books of Tanakh. Five of them are the Torah. The rest, pretty much, are all about telling us off about where we got it wrong. Shaftim Shushua, Shaftim Shmuel, Bayasa, Rabbaya, the whole way through. Well, what's wrong? If we've got an excuse, then we're not held responsible. Kashav the Ramban. Vim Noimar, Vesha Avraham, Gezeiras Malkum. If you're going to say Hashem thought, Shmuel told them what to do. So therefore, you have to listen to Shmuel. If that's the case, Im came Batla Maidazu, so what's your excuse? So if you hold that it is an excuse, that it's an excuse right the way from the beginning of time till now. And if that's the case, you cannot take away all the books of Nach. Why are they responsible? Why did they go into Golus? Why was there all the terrible things that we went through? And if you're going to say that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commanded us to do something, and therefore you have to listen, well, if that's the case, you've lost the excuse. And the excuse is lost from the very beginning. So he asked another question, but being at Purim, and I didn't have the frame of mind to properly understand it, perhaps we can sit down together and work out the question. He asked, why do they need the original Kabbalah Satera and the original Bris if they've got an excuse? Venerally, I think that question needs to be developed a little bit more, and I haven't got the full presence of mind to develop that question properly. Venerally, Laima. But I think we've got two very, very strong questions already for us to ponder on already. Venerally Loima. You know, the Ramban is extremely concise when he writes, you know, even you see Muhammad's verb, it's very, very concise. Venerally Loima. Says the Ramban, I'd like to say a following tenet. And he says an incredible answer. He says like this, the Mitzchila, Afal Pi Shahayalem Moida, even though they had an excuse, right from the start, right from the moment of Kabbalah Satera, Mikomokim Lo Niten Lema Aretz, Ela, Kadeshi Yekaimu Atera. The end of the day, Klal Yisrael went to Eretz Yisrael. And the giving of Eretz Yisrael was there for a purpose. The purpose of receiving Eretz Yisrael is, in order to keep the Torah, Like it's written in the Torah in many places, it's written that the Torah was given, the Eretz Yisrael was given to us as a place, L'man Yirbu Yameichem, we say every day. L'man Yirbu Yameichem, Mimei Veneichem, Allah Adama Shenishbati. We say every day, V'hayam Shamaya, and we finish off that the enabling of receiving, of doing all the mitzvahs is L'man, and being in Eretz Yisrael is L'man Yirbu Yameichem, V'chara Af Hashem Bochem, Batsas Hashemayim. So we know that we are given Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of being Torah, keeping Torah mitzvahs. And he brings a pasuk in Tehillim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us lands of goyim, va'amal le'umim, their hard work we inherited, the nations before us who came in Eretz Israel developed the land, and we went and took over and benefited from that development. In order that Klal Yisrael should guard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's laws and keep his Torah. So, if that's the case, therefore Klal Yisrael were very happy to go along with that. We'll have a homeland, we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, and the basis of that is to keep the Torah mitzvahs. And we understand that's the relationship. So therefore, if we don't keep the mitzvahs, we understand we're going to be punished for that. And that's something we can handle, and that's something we understood, and we accepted that. And that's why the whole of Tanakh, which is till Golus by Sirishan, is all we were in Eretz Yisrael, and we're expected, therefore, to toe the line. Okay. But, he says, they didn't bring up the excuse that they have, but from their own will, they said Nasa v'nishma, because they understood that's the relationship. But, says the Rambam, amazing, says Kesha Avru al HaTorah, when we actually finally descended to the situation and Nebuchadnezzar had to take us, destroyed that, Shmorchu destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, Omad v'higlo menaret, and Shmorchu kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. Mishigalu, as soon as we left Eretz Yisrael, Masru Moida, we said, excuse me, we've got an old carrot in our pocket, and that is, we have a card, a trump card, which is, Masru Moida al HaDavar. We never really accepted the Torah. We have an excuse, because we were forced into it. We were happy to take it till now, because we understood that was the relationship of being in Yisrael. But you keep kicking us out. Glum Eved Shigil Shoy Rabbi. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kufei. Glum Isha Shigil Shoy Baala. Klum Yesh Lahem Zeh Al Zeh. Do we have any? We're finished. That's it. We've received the get Shichro, or get from Kilo Hakadosh Baruch Hu's called by the relationship to Hakadosh Baruch Hu is like a husband and wife. We're finished. And on that,
the condition was fulfilled.
Sorry?
The condition was fulfilled.
Exactly. Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't fulfill his condition.
No, but hey, didn't give it to him, so they kicked out from Yisrael.
You're right. But the whole basis, says the Ramban, that we accepted the Torah was only because we were going to be in Eretz Yisrael. As soon as that's gone, so therefore we have nothing, no connection anymore. The Gemara carries on, and the Gemara says, puts the pasuk that the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, Ha'ula al ruchachem lo yisiya. Asha atem oimrim, niyeh kagoyim. What you said that you want, you're not going to get. Niyeh kagoyim uke mishpacho yisa adama. And he quotes this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rabbeinu Yecheskel, they said to Yecheskel Anobi, Eved Shemachar Rabbi Klum Yesh La'alav, once you're sold, I can go on free to myself to do what I want. Okay? And therefore he says, when they come back to the second Beis HaMikdash, therefore, now, with the Purim story, they reaccepted the Torah, and it was under new terms and conditions, not dependent on Eretz Yisrael. And now Rabbi Yisai, I'd like to ask you two questions. And that is that if that's the case, that's a very good timer. That's a really good timer. So what's Hakadosh Baruch Hu turn around to us? What does Yecheskel HaNavi turn around to us and say, Ha'ola al ruchachem lo yisiya? And the Gemara actually carries on and explains the pasuk. It says, Im lo yibachim rashfucha em lo yichaleim aleichem. I'm going to rule over you with a tremendous wrath, tremendous anger. Well, that doesn't add up. We have a valid excuse, and the Gemara accepts that's a valid excuse. And Yecheskel HaNavi tells us through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sorry. Ha'ila ruchach em leisiyya. No, it's not going to happen. I'm going to rule over you with a tremendous anger. Makore, what's happening? That's one question. And another question, which is really an incredible question, and that is, Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, in the palace of the king. Being in the palace of the king means that you have to behave yourself being in the palace of the king. You have to conduct yourself appropriately. You cannot not conduct yourself appropriately. In fact, an Aveira in the palace of the king is much more severe. There's a famous Kolboy, and the Kolboy speaks about doing Aliyah. Back at the time of Rishonim. And one of the things he says there is, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, remember, you're in the palace of the king, you have to conduct yourself better. You're held more accountable, you're in the palace of the king. So therefore, let's add it up. Where would you expect to be punished more severely? When you're in the palace of the king, or when you are completely detached and far away from the palace of the king? I think it's simple to say that, of course, in the palace of the king, you're punished more severely. So why is it that there has never been a decree, like the decree of Haman, a decree for complete annihilation, lahashmid, laharik, or la'abid, completely, completely annihilate, completely obliterate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to it? We shouldn't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't agree to it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to it, somebody once came to the Vilna Gaon, and there's a medrash that says that Mordechai wanted to know from, Eliyahu HaNavi, he asked him, how is this decree sealed? Is it this sealed with tit, or with lime, or is it sealed with blood? If it's sealed with blood, we haven't got a chance. That means it's a decree which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not rescind. La'abdom, somebody once said over to the Vilna Gaon, La'abdom can be read, Loi Bedam. And therefore it's sealed with clay. It's something which you can rescind. Vilna will help for it. If it would have been sealed with blood, Repair Shalos Rapalia. One of the Kedoshe Elyon, he was killed in the Xeris of Tach Vatat. And he said, he was killed while he was saying Kiddush. And he said, in the Megillah, there is a big Tof and a big Ches. The beginning of the Megillah, there's a big Ches, Chor Karpas Ushcheles. At the end of the Megillah, Vatichtoiv Esther, a big Tof and a big Ches. And he said, Baruch HaKodesh, he said, what's this big Tof and this big Ches? He said the Gzeiros of Tach Vatat, the Gzeiros of 1648, 1649, those Gzeiros were a result of, really, like you have by the Egel, there's such an idea of a Yom Pakti or Pakadati, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us for the Egel, but we still had some, there was still an account with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that the Gzeiros Tach Vatat were a residue of that Gzeira of annihilation still from Lahashma Da'agal Abid, from the time of Haman. So it's a serious gezeira. How could it be that we are subject to such a gezeira, such a decree, when we are away from the king's palace? When we have a good excuse, Mikal Moidah Rabba Le'Raisa, when the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches that excuse is an acceptable excuse, how are we to understand that? It's a very strong question. I'd like to suggest an answer that I was heard from Marcel Borden, Rabbi Marcel Borden, and a beautiful answer. The question is an incredible question. Let's try and suggest the answer like this. Perhaps it's quite simple. The world, as we know, exists because of the Torah. First, Rashi ala Torah. Bereshis. Bishvil Yisrael shenik Bereshis. Bishvil HaTorah shenik Bereshis. That's the purpose of the world. Without it, when Klal Yisrael are offered the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im mekablim es HaTorah mutav. If Klal Yisrael accept the Torah, good. Vim lav, and if not, achzir ha'olam le'Torah v'vayim. There's no purpose to the world. Yoyim hashishi, What's the extra hey in Yom HaShishi? Says Rashi, because the whole world was waiting to see, will Klal Yisrael accept the Torah on the sixth day? So everything is dependent on Klal Yisrael accepting the Torah. Klal Yisrael have the Torah, the world has a right to a purpose to exist. Klal Yisrael don't accept the Torah, the world has no purpose. If that's the case, let's take a look over here. You're right. It's taka an acceptable excuse. You're right. We can say goodbye. But if that's the case, there comes a consequence to it. If we can say goodbye, then not only have we said goodbye, the whole world has no purpose, the whole world ceases to exist. If that's the case, the decree in the time of Haman is not a decree which stems as a punishment for a particular Avera. When we're living in Eretz Yisrael and we serve Avodah Zarah, when we're living in Eretz Yisrael and we're Machal Shabbosos, we don't keep Shemitah, we are basically still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, we've succumbed to Averas. So an Avera carries with it a penalty, a punishment. Chilul Shabbos, terrible thing. Galus. Shemitah, terrible thing. Galus. Avodah Zarah, terrible thing. Galus. There's certain Averas which take away the Shechinah from Klal Yisrael, but we still are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've just broken that connection by doing Averas, but it's not pshat that we have severed our connection completely with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or with the world, with the existence of the world. When Klal Yisrael arrive in Galus, and they tell Yechezkel, Rabbeinu Yechezkel, Klum Eved, Shegir Shei Raboi, Klum Isha, Shegir Shei Bala, Klum Yesh Lem Zelze, we're finished, but that's it. Between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing anymore. Says Yechezkel, if that's the case, the whole world ceases to exist. Because the purpose of creation is for Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah. If that's the case, the decree of destruction is a direct output of Klal Yisrael saying, we've got no connection anymore. Because there's no purpose to the world anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to us was, and here's the incredible thing. The Ness of Purim shows us what we say. We turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you forced us into it. That means, when you say to somebody, you forced us into it, it means there is another choice. I have another choice, and you forced me into it. If I will demonstrate to you that there is no other choice, there is nothing else possible, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to you, whatever you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connected to you. Even if you want to turn a blind eye and imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Even if you want to go to sleep and think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Even if you're in a situation of Adda Lo Yada, where you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you are completely disconnected, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there, connected to you, and still cares about you, and still worrying about you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so vitally connected to you, it's irrelevant whether you're a good boy or a bad boy, it's irrelevant what you're doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still connected to you. That brings us to the realization that that forcing of Har Sinai is not because we have another choice. It's just that we should feel that we're obligated, but not that there is another choice. Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the Pasuk say? With that, I think we've tied it up. The Pasuk says, Imloi, Yechezkel HaNavi says, Imloi b'chema shfucha, if not with a tremendous anger, Em Eloich Aleichem, I will become king over you. Now we all know that there's a difference between a melech and a moshe. A melech is a king who is happily accepted by his subjects. A moshe is somebody who rules over with power and without being accepted by the people who are by his subjects. The Pasuk says, Yechezkel says to Klal Yisrael, Im loy b'chema shfucha, if not with a tremendous anger, Em shoyl aleichem? No. Em loich aleichem. How does that work? Em loich aleichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to rule over you with tremendous anger, and I'm going to, not, doesn't say rule, I'll become king over you with that tremendous anger. Here's the thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates, the Pasuk shows us, and here the Purim story demonstrates, how with this tremendous anger of the destruction, the decree of destruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually became our king in a way that no other of the Yomim Tovim brings that out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us how within the anger, he's busy looking after us the whole time. You come to the party, you're doing the most terrible Aveira. Through the party, you're celebrating the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Ahasuerus is there with his big day kohuna, and he's celebrating the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed, and the fact that Klal Yisrael will never be saved. And the Klal Yisrael joining in that party and celebrate. And in that very party, at the depths of depravity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already sowing the seeds of the whole Geula. Haman is the one who makes the downfall of Vashti. Within that, I mean, look at the Mephoreshim, so incredible how that in itself caused Haman's own downfall, because, just to take one thing, the Malbim says that, normally speaking, the king has to consult his advisors. Hakarev Elav, Kashan Asesha, Admasa Sarshish. The decree Haman's Eitzah was that this is something personal to the king, and there has to be a new rule set in place, that when there's something specific to the king is allowed to pass in this without consulting his advisors. That caused Haman's own downfall. Esther sitting by the party, and she says, look at this. Ishtar v'ayiv Haman arazeh. Now if he has to go and call his advisors and everything, I promise you Haman is going to be sorted. He won't be on that gallows. But because Haman himself was instituted a few years earlier, that the king can sort out his own things directly himself. Finished. That's it. Sorted. Haman gets his due directly as a result. And that's all happening at the time when Klal Yisrael have done the worst aveiros, and while they're doing it. That's the Avos HaNes. That shows us that there is no Moedah Rabbah Raisa, because there is no other choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there looking after us, whatever happens. If that's the case, we re-accept the Torah, that whole decree automatically disappears. And now we accept the Torah, and we're reinstated, and we have today, coming back, Shushan Purim, we come back with a Hadar Kibluah B'mei Achashverosh. So that's when we get to Purim. But we are Shleishim Yom Kodem HaChag, and we have 5 minutes, so maybe a few things about baking matzahs. Those are learning Dirshu program, so we're in the middle of learning matzahs, although in our Dirshu, and we just decided yesterday to jump to the Hilchas Leila Seder, so that when we get to Seder night, we're actually more familiar rather than whether, and we'll come back to after Pesach, to May Peris Machmitzin or not Machmitzin. So, just a few things. A point that hit me, and it was an interesting discovery to me about how matzahs are baked. There's a halacha, and some Tov Samach Aleph Siv Beis. If you bake matzahs on a tray, you either bake them in an oven directly with the heat. If you put them on a tray, the tray has to be preheated. That means if you put them on a tray and you bake on the tray, it's okay, but the tray has to be preheated. Because if it's not being preheated, so then until the tray heats, then your matzahs are going to possibly become chametz. And the Mishnah Berurah paskens that b'dieved okay to keep at home on Pesach. You can't eat it, but you can keep them at home if you've baked it like that. And therefore there's a discussion about baking on paper. Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, you shouldn't even bake on paper. And I was wondering, if that's the case, those people who have hand matzahs, so they take the matzah and they put it directly in the oven. But those people who have machine matzahs, the machine matzahs have to get into the oven somehow. So they must be going on a conveyor. And if they're going on a conveyor, how does the conveyor get preheated when we know, and from another earlier halacha, that there's a halacha that the peat tanur has to be kept cold? Which means that the room where you make your matzahs, make the dough, and the room where you actually bake your matzahs has to be separated. And you have to make sure there's no heat transfer, because the matzahs have to stay at least at room temperature till they enter the area of the where it's baking. And you have to do transfer that as quickly as possible. And here comes something which is relevant to those people who are making hand matzahs, that the Mishnah Berurah says that one has to be very careful to speedily take the matzahs from the room where you've prepared the matzah into the room where you're baking it. V'ra olai hamaisa, he says, the people who are taking have the job of taking the matzahs and put them in the oven, stop to talk or take their time. That's terrible, he says, because the matzahs will warm up there and they could become chometz. So that's something which one has to take into account. Now, if you've got a conveyor belt, how do you do that? Because the conveyor belt had to start somewhere and carry on and take the matzahs along there. So I went around asking, and I discovered.
So the preheating is described as the before in the actual oven?
So the preheating, of course, the preheating has to happen in the oven. the tafka, the preheating of the tray, the Machaber says, has to be preheated in the oven. In the oven, it has to be preheated.
The oven
floor is always preheated because it's always, always boiling hot.
Why would you heat the tray then?
If you want to bake on a tray, for example, I suppose you want to put in a few layers of matzahs, you know, like a lady bakes challahs, so she puts two layers. So if you want to bake matzahs, let's say, on two levels, you can do that, says the Machaber, but you must make sure that that level is boiling hot, is preheated. It has to be the on contact, it's already boiling hot. Yeah, clear? So the conveyor belt, how do you get that preheated? So I was very bothered about that. I discovered, it's all recorded, so let's just go to what works now. What's happening now? Well, when the recordings are not on, we can discuss what things used to be like.
I have a feeling that that's the dough will stick to a hot tray immediately if the tray is boiling hot.
Yes.
The dough will stick to it. You won't get it off.
No. So what they do, they have non-stick. They do make sure that there's the... So how do they do this? So I sent a message to a good friend of mine who's the rabbi at Rakuzin's. So he says to me, I don't know how other matzah bakeries do it, but what we have is, very interesting, is we have our conveyor belt. There's two conveyor belts. Now that's quite an art. They have a conveyor belt that takes it till the oven, and then they have a conveyor belt that picks it up, takes the matzah over, so it transfers from one conveyor to another conveyor as dough, and that second conveyor runs in the oven only, and it runs for 2.5 hours every day before the oven starts to bake, to actual baking of matzahs. The oven is preheated for 2.5 hours, and that conveyor runs through for 2.5 hours every day before. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I met Rabbi Meir Tzvi Spitzer, and I asked him how it works. So again, he says to me, I don't know how it used to work, but now how it works is that they have also the same idea. They have two conveyors, and the conveyors transfer the matzahs over to the other, so the actual tray, which is our conveyor, which the matzah is being baked on, is baked in a way that it's immediately preheated.
When it sits in the first conveyor belt, then that's not so hot.
Forget. The first conveyor, that was bothering me. Because the first conveyor, they have coolers and they have fans because they don't want to run into a problem making chametz because of pitano.
For the second, it jumps over to the second conveyor belt because it's boiling hot.
So that either happens just prior to entering the oven, which is for about two or three seconds, which Rabbi Roy says to me, that's sicha not a problem, that's not worse than the guy walking in the room from the other room and walking over, yes? Or it happens within the oven, and then they have to make sure that as the old conveyor comes out, it gets cooled down straight away, so that when it picks up the new dough, further along down the line, back down, cool down, so that it's not a problem. We've run out of time. There's about five or six. We've run out of time for another time. It's a shame. Okay. Okay.